Thank you, Pastor Gary. Yeah, it was while I was talking to Sarah, I try to do some reconnaissance, right? Because there are so many different churches across our state, and I like to do a little reconnaissance to see what should I wear, what kind of translation do pastors preach out of, that kind of thing. And I couldn't help but notice that Pastor Gary was in Mark chapter 12, and I was like, man alive, that is so wild, because that's exactly where this message is from. So I'll just take that, Lord, and we say thank you that you are just continuing this theme in Mark chapter 12. I appreciate Mark because he's such a direct and like to the point kind of writer. And so, so counterfeit Christianity. No, I'm not talking to you guys about tithing today. Yes, there's some money on there, but that is not what I am here to do today. We are going to be in Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and head there. This is a very interesting piece of passage, because Jesus is addressed by two groups of people, and he kind of really turns the entire situation on its head. How many of you have ever been confronted by a situation where someone said something smart to you, or they had this stinger and they got you, and you're like a couple hours, you're like way beyond that situation, and you're like, I would have told them this, and you're like, I missed it, man. That's probably God's grace, to be honest, but especially for me, because I say a lot of things that I shouldn't. But here Jesus had like the perfect aha gotcha, and I'm like, man, this is so good. So Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, let's get on into this. And they said to him, and they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? It goes on in verse 15, but knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why put me to the test? Bring me a denarii and let me look at it. And they brought one, and he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. God, I pray that you would just bless the reading of that. I pray that you would just use today's scripture to challenge us. Lord, I pray that we would be just completely made into the likeness of you. Lord, trim away and prune the things that need to be pruned, and conform and make us, Lord, as much as we can be an image of you. Lord, may this word speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So here, the Sanhedrin sends a trap in the form of two groups. We see the Pharisees and the Herodians. If you've read the Gospels more than 5 minutes, you know that the Pharisees are not too big of fans of Jesus. And we find them here paired with a very interesting group, the Herodians. This is a very unlikely group of people that would be paired with the Pharisees. The Herodians supported the rule of Herod over the Jews, even though they knew that the Herod wasn't fully Jewish. So you have this group, the Pharisees, who are very set on protecting the Abrahamic law, protecting the way of Jewish life, and you have the Herodians, who are very accepting of this new Roman way and rule. So very different lifestyles. And I believe Jesus was a very clever man, and he saw, okay, I see two enemies working together and now approaching me. He saw something was afoot. And as we dive into this, we can see just what their intentions were. In the Greek, this word that they use here, the writer uses here, is very interesting. It says, well, in English here, that to catch him in his words. That word catch is only used one time in the New Testament. And it, because it's used that one time, it can be very easy to walk over it or to not see it. But it's very interesting. It means to prey or to hunt after or to entrap or pursue eagerly. This reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8 when it says, Be alert and sober of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. They were on a mission to disqualify Jesus, to tear Jesus down, and to catch him in his trap. Not only are their actions in line with that of the enemy, but their speeches as well. Listen to the deceit in their speech. They start things off. They say that you catch more flies with honey, right? They start out, they're like, teacher. They honor him. Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. They're trying to butter him up. They knew what they were doing. But praise God, so did Jesus. He knew exactly what they were doing. The devil has been in this game of trying to trip us up, but God is so good and all wise and all knowing. He knows the tricks that the enemy is up to. We can take assurance and rest in that. We have a good shepherd that is watching over us, and when the enemy sends his snares, when he sends his tricks, when he sends his traps, we know that we can step right over them in the name of Jesus, right? He has this wisdom. He says, bring me a denarii. The image stamped and pressed on the front of this coin is Caesar's. And that image is much more than a decoration. The denarii in that time bared the following inscription as well. It had some writing at the top of it, just like a lot of our coins do. And I think it adds more to the point of what Jesus is making. The inscription reads, please bear with me, I do not know Greek, so I'm going to do the best I can, and we'll pretend like it's great, okay? It said, Tiberius Caesar Davidi Augusti Filius Augusti, which translates to Tiberius Caesar, the son of the divine Augustus, the Augustus. Augustus was a name, but here it is a title given. With that in mind, this phrase can be reread as Tiberius Caesar, the son of the divine king. This is blasphemous. Jesus is telling them to give their taxes to who they've put their earthly trust in. But he follows that with a much bigger statement. There's an acknowledgement to that title. But Jesus' title comes from a higher place than man. From the King of Kings. From the King over all kings. From the King over all emperors. Over all czars. Over all Herods. Over all Caesars. Over all pharaohs. His title comes from God. And here comes his checkmate. He was ready. Give to God what belongs to God. If taxes belong to Caesar, we must ask ourselves what belongs to God. Taxes belong to your government, but your life belongs to your Creator. Pay your tribute, respect, and devotion to the true King of Kings and Creator of all. If Caesar is owed your taxes, give God your devotion. Our lives belong to God. Isn't he owed it? What has he done for you? Jesus gave everything. He paid it all on the cross. If the image on the denarii doesn't look like Caesar, what is the point of that coin at that point? It's counterfeit. The value in that coin at that time came from the image stamped in it. The point of the coin is to bear the image. That's where it gets its value. Church, in the same way, we are to bear the image of the Father. Do we look like Him? What sets us apart from any other club, from any other social group? Does His church look like His bride? Our first point is our lives belong to God. Thank you guys for staying on. I'm so bad about calling for points for slides, but thank you for following along. Our lives belong to God. If you're taking notes, the next one is our now belongs to God. We're not just called to be a static likeness of God, but reflections, active reflections of Him. In 2006, there was a clever movie that came out called Night at the Museum. It tells the story of the challenges of a newly hired night guard and what he faces when the museum he works for comes to life at night. So all the dioramas and all the exhibits in the museum start coming to life and fighting against each other and going, it's mayhem. And I couldn't help but think when remembering that movie, is this what the life of the American Christian is starting to become? That we only come to life on Sundays, or we only come to life when it's easiest. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand," this last part, don't miss this, "that we should walk in them." We were created to walk in those good works. That's action. We're made to walk that out. I love how Lauren Cunningham, he's the founder of YWAM, a missions organization, he said this: "You're either a missionary or a mission field." Whew. He drew a hard line there. As bearers of God's image, we are meant to live out His character. It's not just that we look like God, but we are called to reflect His nature in our actions, our choices, our relationship, our Monday through Sunday, or our Sunday through Saturday should look like a constant reflection of who God is, not just when we're inside these doors, church. Let us live right now as living portraits of the Creator, reflecting His image to the world around us. We are made to be more than just that static likeness. The harvest is plenty and the workers are few. That's why we have to live this out. There's so much work to be had or to be done. Like I gave you that statistic earlier, 42% of the world is unreached. That means they do not have adequate or have never heard the gospel. 42%. To give you an idea, that'd be almost like cutting this room in half and this group over here never hearing the name of Jesus. Does that break our hearts? The gospel, this is another quote by Carl F.H. Henry. "The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time."
Yeah. Amen. Wow.
That 42%, there's a clock that's ticking. That 42% isn't just this infinite number that goes on forever. That's 42% of the earth that every day we have cycles of others dying and new ones coming. We need workers. We need folks to get out there. We need the missionaries that we've sent to stay there. Our communities need the gospel.
Amen.
But you can even start out there. Before you can even start out there, we got to start here.
Right.
Pastor showed me an incredible brochure today of all the missions support that this church currently does. And that blessed me so much. You guys have such a strong missions heart in this church.
Praise the Lord.
The outreach, the reach that you guys have here. But before it goes to the vast parts of the world, before it touches the corners of the earth, it starts here.
Amen.
In this community. Our communities need the gospel. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This is why our now belongs to God, because it says, "And then the end will come." The end will come once the gospel reaches all nations. So we need the now to happen so we can usher in the return of Jesus. I don't know about you, church, but I'm ready to see my Jesus. I am ready to go home. I used to hear that so much preached when I was a kid, and I'm like, I don't understand what my pastor's preaching about. I think it's pretty great down here, you know? But man, as I've lived life, I cannot wait. As my relationship with my Father has developed, I cannot wait to meet my Maker. It is time, church. Let us be a part of an active church that ushers in the return of Jesus.
Amen.
Our lives belong to God. Our now belongs to God. And the third point, our yes belongs to God. Obedience is not easy. He's not asking you, though. I feel like there's this pressure we put on ourselves. He's not asking you to feed the 5,000. He's asking you to just bring your lunch.
Yes, that's right. Hallelujah.
He's not asking you to work that miracle. He's asking you to just be available. And that happens in our everyday. That happens at around the dinner table, it happens at work, it happens in our community. Our yes belongs to God. Romans 12:1 sums this. I'm going to close with this. And I feel like Paul just beautifully puts this, but he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him." Let our lives belong to God. Let our nows belong to God. And let our yeses belong to God. May we serve him with complete abandonment for the betterment of this community, for the betterment of the world. That all people know the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, I pray over this community. I pray for this church. I pray that you would continue to use this church as a light, a beacon, Father, in a dark world. And I pray that anyone that comes into contact with this church, Lord, would just feel, Lord, the work that you're doing in this church, that it would change them, Father. And I pray that you would expand their reach, and that you would, Lord, compel us to take action in our communities this week, Lord. May we take this a step forward, and on our way home today, right now, may we ask ourselves, Lord, how can I actually take this and put it to work right now? How can I start thinking through? How can I be more of a light in my community right here? What does that look like for me? And Father, as they do that, Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace that comes with that. Lord, you didn't, again, ask us for the performance. You asked us for the availability. And I pray that you would just bless them in that. As we surrender to that, Father, I pray that you would give them the grace to do so. Lord, we thank you for such a strong and healthy church. Lord, I thank you that you have just given them that opportunity to invest in their community and the world. And Father, they have stepped up for that. So I pray blessings for that. I just pray blessings over Pastor Gary and this whole congregation. And I just thank you so much again for them. And we just love you, Jesus. It's all about you, Father. In your beautiful name, amen.